Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Murder in the Morning from the Hidden Killers Podcast.
It's always exciting to see when someone who committed a crime many years ago finally gets arrested and justice finally is served. And a lot of times, you know, it's very much thanks to genealogical things of 23andMe or Ancestry and your cousin, your sister, your brother, whatever. Did it. And now, oh, look at this DNA. Really familiarly matches to what we believe or who we believe was a serial killer. We've been seeing a lot of that. This one, I don't know if it goes into familial DNA or not, but they did get someone. 65-year-old man apprehended by deputies near San Diego, suspected of a heinous crime dating back to 1984. Donald Santini was arrested on suspicion of having strangled Cynthia Wood. His lifeless body was tragically discovered in a Florida ditch back in 1984. The U.S. Marshals Service of San Diego released an announcement on June 12th detailing the efforts of the San Diego Fugitive Task Force, who traced Santini to his hideout in Campo. He was linked to the unsolved homicide of Cynthia Wood. As the case resurfaced, the Hillsborough County Sheriff's Department confirmed that Santini was extradited back to Tampa on June 28th and is now facing first-degree murder charges. It all happened on a distressing afternoon in 1984. It was June 9th, around 3:30 in the afternoon. Detectives made that grim discovery of Cynthia Wood's body, abandoned in a drainage ditch on also Brook Drive in Riverview, Florida. It was a horrifying discovery, as stated by the sheriff's office. They came amidst Wood's personal turmoil as she was reportedly undergoing a divorce with her then husband. An investigation into her disappearance led by the Associated Press indicated that Wood had been reported missing 3 days prior to the devastating discovery of her body in the ditch. The medical examiner's autopsy later revealed the shocking cause of her death. She had been strangled. Further investigations pointed to Santini as the primary suspect. Reportedly, he was the last person seen with Wood, and damningly, his fingerprints were discovered on her body. WESH-TV reported that Santini encountered Wood at a daycare center when he was collecting his girlfriend's children. A court document claimed that Santini had expressed his desire to become Wood's friend and had even proposed to ask her out on a date. Authorities were led deeper into the macabre narrative by a female witness who informed them of Santini's chilling confession. According to WESH, she claimed that Santini had admitted to strangling Wood and then disposing of her body in a canal. Following these revelations, Santini, now identified as the main suspect, vanished from Hillsborough County, beginning what would be a global manhunt. How do you to confess that? You're just like having coffee? Hey, by the way, you know? I probably
figured he was so far removed from it. It didn't, you know.
Oh, my goodness. The hunt for Santini continued. He was featured on America's Most Wanted 3 times in 1990, 2005, and 2013. The Associated Press reported that detectives believe Santini had managed to elude capture by moving around several parts of the world, including Texas, California, and even Thailand. At the point of his capture in California, Santini had been living under an alias, Wellman Simmons. That's an interesting name to pick. Wellman Simmons. You get to pick your name. I don't know why you go with that. And held the position of president of a local water board near San Diego. Well, it looks like that local water board didn't do their background checks if Wellman Simmons was running it. Reports from WFTS-TV revealed that Santini had assumed numerous aliases over the years, including Charles Michael Stevens, Donald Chapman, and John Trimblian. In a bizarre twist, Santini wrote a handwritten letter to KGTV-TV claiming that his longevity on the run was due to living a loving, respectful life. In his letter, he professed that he had been a Rotary Club volunteer, operated a Thai restaurant, and owned an apartment block. This is how these people think. They think that they're becoming, they're do this, it justifies that, and they're all an okay person. I mean, it's the ramblings of a psycho, but, you know, it is, that's how they look. I mean, it's BTK-ish as well, the way that this man talks, where it's like, well, here's what I did. I got the rope at the Home Depot, and then I went and did this, and ejaculated on the body. And it just talks about it like it's, you know, he's ordering Taco Bell. It's something that these type of individuals are capable of, which makes them very spooky because they just mesh into the rest of society. The chilling
the part that I'm really troubled with is, why did he kill her?
Well, let's see if we can figure that out. The chilling saga culminated in Santini's booking at Frankenberg Road Jail, where he's now awaiting trial. The charges stacked against him include first-degree murder and aggravated battery from Texas, along with previous conviction for raping a woman while stationed in Germany. So he's got a nice little record here. Hillsborough County Sheriff Chad Krosner concluded the arrest of Donald Santini brings closure to a long-standing cold case and provides justice for the victim and her family after nearly four decades of waiting. The statement marked an end to a painstaking investigation spanning nearly 40 years and provided a measure of solace to the long-suffering family of Cynthia Wood. However, with the case ongoing and more secrets potentially waiting to be unearthed, it's clear that the echoes of the past continue to resonate. I'm going to guess there's other crimes that we're going to find out about here as well.
Yeah, and I'm surprised that they actually were able to lift prints off of her, you know, that long ago. You know, that was back in the 80s. My goodness.
Well, prints, but not DNA. I mean, so it wasn't a DNA type a match. They didn't really do that back then, but they lifted the prints and they matched him. And you're talking about motive. It doesn't really get into the motive here, but I'm going to guess it's probably a fairly simple one. A woman said no to him.
Oh, I wouldn't doubt it. That's a huge, huge factor in a lot of killings of women, you know, just being turned down or looked at like, ew, you're a creep. That's all it takes.
Yeah. I mean, and this is what we understood of the interaction that he had with Cynthia before she died is at the daycare center. And he wanted to go out with her, even asking her out. And she rejected him. And that's, you know, he sounds like he's a person who doesn't deal with rejection very well, considering we also have pending rape charges against him and aggravated battery. So this is someone who doesn't have their shit together very well and is capable of doing very, very horrible things. It's amazing that one can create a new identity and get along in life for as long as they can.
How was he getting paid, though? Didn't you say he was on the board in San Diego of a water board or something?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know.
I mean, I missed a paycheck once because I couldn't submit. I couldn't find my Social Security card.
Mm-hmm.
And so they could not pay me.
Yeah.
I didn't have my paperwork in. And I'm like, I'm legit, but they didn't care. You have to have those. What, two forms of ID, two different forms of ID to prove that you are a citizen of our country or here legally to work. So how do you just create a new ID unless he's, you know, pretending to be somebody he's not?
Might be pretending to be, I don't know. I mean, that's interesting. It'd be interesting to learn these identities that he picked up. Like, were they dead people that he got their information from? I mean, you can buy that sort of information on the dark web. And then associate yourself with somebody. Or was he just, you know, making up numbers in the Social Security box where you put that onto the application and, you know, nobody's ever really truly checking it. It's just like,
be interesting to find out, wouldn't it?
I mean, it really does kind of poke a lot of holes. You got to look at every place he's worked and go, did they do background checks? Yes. How did nothing show up on this individual? Or how did anything show up? Maybe that's part of it. Maybe if you if you make a person up, nothing will show up. But there usually should be some sort of a verification with a Social Security number that this person, you know, was born or exists.
Exactly. Yeah. Some people failed along the way, that's for sure.
Yeah. But finally, after all those years, if this is in fact the man who did this, it looks like justice will very soon and finally be served.
You're locked into the Hidden Killers podcast.
Want more? Start binging on all of our true crime podcasts right now through Apple Podcasts and get an ad-free experience when you sign up to be a True Crime Today Premium Plus member exclusively on Apple Podcasts.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast dropping soon.
Press subscribe now.